Lord, would you open our hearts and our minds to the things that you want to say to us this morning. Thank you for your great love and your mercy. And would you speak to each of us? In Jesus' name, amen. So this man that we've just heard about was a rich young ruler in a position of great power. And as we've just seen, he had everything. But he asked Jesus what he needed to do to gain eternal life. He was already a good man, keeping godly laws since he was little, but he knew that he lacked something. He asked Jesus what that was, and Jesus replied, "Sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come follow me." The man was sad at this and went away because he wasn't prepared to give up his wealth. I don't believe for a minute that Jesus was saying that all of his followers need to give away everything that they own and give it to the poor. But Jesus knew that this man, for him, his wealth was an obstacle to entering fully into the kingdom of God. He was likely to be relying on his own riches and status to get him through. And he wasn't willing to lay that down for Jesus. See, wealth in those days was often seen as God's approval. But Jesus turned this around, as he did with many things. And we can see the surprise of the Jesus disciples when he said that it's hard for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. His disciples were greatly astonished, saying in effect, "Well, if the rich can't enter, who on earth can?" Jesus was saying, we can't buy our way into the kingdom of God or into God's favour. We're only saved by God's grace, mercy, and our faith. I don't think we should be too hard on this rich man. Wealth is a common obstacle. In this life, it brings with it power, status, security, and the accumulation of stuff, which can all be very attractive. In this materialistic world, it's something that many crave and strive after, and maybe there's a bit of that in all of us. But if we want to follow Jesus wholeheartedly, we have to shed things that are challenging his lordship in our lives. That doesn't necessarily mean he will ask us to give it all up, but he might. And he certainly asks us to hold them lightly and use what we have for his purposes. Are we willing to lie down what we have for him? That's a constant challenge for all of us. Tom Wright describes this choice that the rich man had by saying that in order to inherit the new life that he wanted in God, he had to abandon the values of his old life, the worldly values, and trust himself totally to the values of the new life. Tom Wright says it's like a diver throwing themselves forwards into the water. I wonder how many of us have been in this position, standing at the end of the diving board. I didn't even get that far, no chance. This little girl has a choice. Either she dives or she walks away. You can't do both. She needs to do one or the other. And sadly, this rich young man chose to walk away. And then, as the man leaves, Jesus says something really odd, and this is what we've been talking about with hoops and bags and all sorts. He says to the disciples that it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than it is for someone who's rich to enter the kingdom of God. Now, the disciples didn't ask what he meant by that. I think we might go, "You what?" I don't know about you, but my mum has some sayings that we have no idea what she's talking about. One of them was, there's more whatever than you can shake a stick at. You know, see, nobody else has ever heard of that as well. I don't know where she's got that. Oh, you have? Okay. I think it's a bit of a Black Country saying, isn't it? Yeah, yeah. She also called a place she went to a one-eyed hole. No. You heard that as well? Oh, there you are. There you are. Maybe it's a... I don't know. Anyway, so because the disciples didn't say, "You what now?" Maybe it was a saying at the time that they would have understood. And there are a few theories about what Jesus did mean by this. And a camel was the biggest animal around in Palestine at that time. It would be loaded up with bags and possessions, like we've seen. So they used it as a modern-day trailer, putting all their packaging on. And I know that camels are big because I've been on one. And then the next one is a picture of Alan and I on our honeymoon, looking youthful 25 years ago. Now, again, my mum, I didn't realise she was going to feature so much in this. She still cries with laughter every time she sees that. How rude is that? But I think it's because the costumes we had to wear were one size fits all. So Alan being 6'1", it comes down to his knees, whereas me being 5 foot nothing sort of dragged on the floor a little bit. But that was us getting ready to go on the camel. Now, I know I'm short, I know that, but the camel's tummy came to about here. So there was absolutely no way I could get on that camel. So then it had to get down onto its knees. And even then, I needed a bit of a ladder. Or I can't even remember. I've probably blocked it out, how they hauled me up onto this camel. But they're big. They're very big. Take my word for it. So there's no chance that something that big could get through the eye of a tiny needle, is there? So what on earth did Jesus mean? Well, it could have just been exaggerated speech. Somewhere else in the Gospels, Jesus talks about someone having a plank in their eye. It didn't literally mean somebody walked around with a plank in his eye. It was exaggerated speech. So it could have been that. Or it could have meant, exactly as it seems, a picture of impossibility. It is impossible to squeeze a camel through the eye of a needle. But that's the point. In our own strength, it is impossible to be saved. But in God, with his mercy and grace, it is possible. Only God can save us. We can't save ourselves, even with money or status or being really, really good. Or there's another theory about what Jesus could have meant. Around Jerusalem at that time, there was a wall to keep the city safe, to keep its people in and its enemies out. At night times, the gates of the wall were closed for security, but there were some little holes in the wall that could be opened if necessary. Some say that one of these holes was called the Needle Gate. So for a camel to get through this gap, it would need to be stripped of its load, just as John had to put all the bags down. And in this case, trusting that nobody would run off with the bags either side of the hole. So they'd strip the camel and then take the bags through bit by bit. And the camel would have to get down on its knees, just like when I was trying to climb onto the thing, and creep slowly through the gate. It's not an easy thing to do at all. And we don't know if this theory is true. There are various sources for and against. But I do love this picture that it gives for us to lay down our wealth and possessions and everything else, trusting them to God's safekeeping, and the picture of humility in that the camel is brought to his knees. So this morning, I wonder if we have any obstacles to our giving our lives fully to Jesus. Are we holding anything back from him? Not just in our initial coming to faith, but in our ongoing relationship with him. Are we allowing anything to get in the way? And I don't mean just material things, but anything. Could be ambitions, fears, lifestyle choices, pride, particular relationships or dependencies. It would be different for each of us. It's something we need to keep a regular check on, because it can be easy for things to sneak in and take hold without even noticing that they've kind of become the most important thing to us. Smarties. Not that that's the most important thing, honest. God gives us lots and lots of good things to enjoy and share. And I'm going to give you one first, because you were so enthusiastic about smarties. My poor children looking longingly, will she come to me? Will she? So God's given us lots and lots of good things to enjoy and to share. And that's great. But I can fit my hand in there like that to get one or two. But if I grab, I can't actually get my hand in anymore. Can't get it out because it's stuck because my fist is absolutely holding all this stuff and I can't get it out anymore. So what am I going to have to do to get my hand back out? Yeah, let go. Doesn't mean I can't have any of it. Doesn't mean that at all. But once I release my hand, I can have a few. When we hang on to things and won't let go of them, it can become a problem, especially if they're taking first place in our lives instead of Jesus. We can get stuck in our faith journeys and our relationship with God, and we'll become unsatisfied, just like that rich ruler was. So are we going to make room for Jesus to completely have his way with us, however challenging that might be, to follow him and to keep growing in faith? The rich young ruler walked away unsatisfied. Let's not be like him. Let's pray for a minute. Lord, we thank you for your saving grace that has reached out to us in the past and continues to draw us to yourself. Thank you for your great love that goes beyond all else and satisfies us more than anything else can. Please help us to keep our eyes on you, that you truly will be the Lord of our lives each and every day. And use us to bring others into your kingdom, sharing your good news with them. In Jesus' name, amen.
And if you'd like to just take the little bit of paper that was given to you as you came in and saw it on your seats, there's a number of thought bubbles. I want you to think about, what do you love most at the moment? What are you worrying about? What are you caring about most? What are you thinking about? What's preoccupying you? Maybe you're worried about money. Maybe you're worried about possessions. I want you to think about, if you had a pen, what you might write in those bubbles. In those thought bubbles, what's preoccupying your thinking that maybe, perhaps, God this morning is saying you need to let go of, you need to lay down, a bit like that camel that Susan was saying would have to kneel to get through the gap in the wall. I'm just going to allow a moment of quiet just for you to think what it might be, and then I'm going to lead us in a prayer of confession. Let's pray. Gracious Father God, so often we turn our hearts away from you, sometimes willingly, often by chance. We fill our hearts with concerns and become obsessed with money and objects. We are sorry for the times we have not turned our hearts towards you. We are sorry for the times we've turned our hearts away from you. We are sorry and we repent, because we know that you are gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love and faithfulness. Lord, search our hearts. We lay them before you. Just a time in quiet for you to name those things that you need to lay aside. And now, Lord, we turn our hearts to you. Thank you for forgiving us, Father God. In Jesus' name, amen.